Share our passion for life on 657 AM.
On the line, I'm now joined by the CEO, as I said, and the founder of business consultant AR Business New Perspective. I said that he's not only that, he goes beyond all of that. He is also a philanthropist and an entrepreneur. He loves the Lord. He's just everything. He's a brother that you can have as well. And so we always enjoy and learn when we are talking to Sir Hlayiseka Ngomane. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Asbongile, and the rest of the family. How are you?
Good, good. Where are you? Are you in Bush? Are you in Nelspruit? Are you in Mamelodi Vareje?
I'm in Tulamahashe, Bushbuckridge.
You're in Tulamahashe today?
Yes.
And how is Tulamahashe?
It's a bit hot, but not that hot.
Ooh, we should borrow you our weather because we have some clouds, at least in Pretoria. So I fancy in Bolek. Welcome yet again today.
Yes, Asbongile.
Welcome again today.
Thank you, Asbongile. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I see you with James Ferdinand Fanzel. Welcome. Greeting the family as well. But Hlayiseka, let's go to it. We are talking about writing a CV today. And, I was saying to the family earlier on, I was saying that even our Facebook pages, our Twitter accounts, our Instagram, they complete everything. When one is going for or one is looking for a job or going for an interview, they also check these. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Asbongile, let me just start off by saying the world has evolved both in all levels, professionally, in all aspects. These days, it does not only end in the CV that you've submitted to your employers or to the potential HR people, but it also goes beyond your Twitter account, your Facebook account, your Instagram account, your LinkedIn account.
I forgot LinkedIn.
So we should be very careful in terms of what we're putting it on our CV and also the Facebook if it talks to each other.
So be careful, keep yourself safe because you might be the right candidate as according to the CV that you have given, but your other CVs, which are your Twitter, your LinkedIn, your Instagram, might say the opposite about you.
Yes, and that will really contradict the opinions of your potential employers because now they are faced with two different personalities that they see. And then you can't really make a decision. Yes, you came in, you presented yourself well in the interview and also in your CV. But when they go to some other aspects where they will find evidence of who you are, it doesn't talk to each other. So that really affects. I've heard so many people who came in and complain about that, where it was very promising for them to get those jobs. But after quite some considerations where employers deliberated on that potential employee, they then revoked the appointment.
So it's very important what do you write, what do you laugh about. It can affect your job opportunities, so be careful. And I think most people are not even aware of this, hey?
Yes, unfortunately, most people, they think those platforms that we have, it's
private,
private and confidential, but I hate to break it to our listeners. These days they can't employ you before they can check your social media handle. Even us from the non-profit organizations, when you're applying for whatever help that you're applying for, they will ask you, oh, what is your Twitter handle?
Yeah.
These are your Facebook accounts as an organization. They also look at such.
So that they can check you out and see if you are who you really say you are. You
How
do what you say.
Are you?
Yeah, credibility. Now, okay, now when it goes to now writing the CV, we see most of the times now we go to our Google and we find there are templates, you know, free CV templates that are there. Can we be using these to make our CVs perfect or to create our CVs?
I think most of the templates that I've seen in from Google, they are quite good out there, but then one just needs to be careful in terms of what to put and what not to put. But like I said, the same CV that we're using in 1999 is no longer the same CV format that you must use in 2022.
Yeah.
So people who are currently looking for employment, they should evolve with time or change with time and move with time in terms of what is required in the CV in 2022. Because gonna do this where you have a CV that is 5 pages. I'm sitting here.
Can I laugh? Pella, remember, remember that when we had, you said in 1999, when we had the 5 pages CV, you wanted everything to be in there. Yeah. Your accolades, especially your accolades, what you have acquired. Yeah.
And while you're talking about that today, I looked at, I have an example, unfortunately I didn't share it with you, first.
Okay.
But it's a very good CV of an individual, a civil engineer, civil engineering technologist, in fact, well educated from TUT. He's one of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
He placed everything that was supposed to be in 7 pages CV.
Yeah.
In 1 page. And I think it was just a skill of our computer skills issue back then.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't really use a computer. So hence we were going to 7 pages. I'm telling you, you can give me an 8-page CV.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it all in 1 page. Because of, as a potential employer myself, when I'm sitting, going through, candidates that I must go and interview, I really don't have time to go through a 7-page CV. So you want high level things. So if things are done properly in 1 page, there's what we call an elevator pitch, whereby your manager is busy. He's willing to listen to you in an hour, in a minute or so. You must present yourself and leave. And then are you going to be able to sell yourself within that minute? So the same thing with the CV.
Okay.
If it's so many pages, chances are they will take the CV and put it out there. But once it's in 1 page, and then they can look at it and be like, wow. Within 30 seconds, they know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about so many words writing an essay, but it's about how you put your valuable, important details about yourself.
Now, I've heard there's an international CV and there's a standard CV. What's the difference? Do we know?
Then an international CV will detail more in terms of the projects that you've worked on.
Okay.
Then a standard one is like when you straight out from university, right?
Uh-huh.
You haven't really worked. You don't really have that much record of the work that you've done. Then that will detail your qualifications and some of the, intense work that you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but your international work, it's obviously if you're looking for international work, you've already worked locally.
Mm-hmm.
So you must put more in terms of the work that you've done here at home, and that makes you or qualifies you to go international and implement that what you want to, you have implemented.
Okay. Now, no, I remember, Tlaisega, that with the old CV, you had the personal information of who you are, your name, your nationality, driver's license, telephone number. Yes, driver's license with the code and telephone number is, and then email. Then followed by your school, academic record, starting with matric. And With matric, you had to mention English. I got a C. Yeah. Good. And then I'm good in speaking and writing and reading. Like you had blogs, you know? That was started. Then you come Afrikaans, then Tswana or Sotho, then mathematics, physical sciences. So how is it done now? Let's start with personal information and then go to academic.
There's so many things that back then was not really necessary in terms of when you're writing a CV.
Yeah.
I'll start off by saying, for example, there are such information that are very confidential. You don't put there. But as when the employer requested to be specific, you can then communicate with the employer. Mm. Like for example, where you're writing sexuality or maybe gender. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're writing grade 10, I passed religious education, I passed maths. Meanwhile, you already have a national diploma in industrial.
You have your honors degree at that time. Yeah.
So definitely, if in that case, if you have already your honors, there's no need for you to write about your matric and the subjects that you did. You can't have an honors degree in South Africa if you don't have
a grade 10.
Yes, a grade 10. So,
I mean, grade 12, yes.
So that is some of the things that, you know, when an employer is sitting there, he's thinking about the logic of this potential employee, that no, there's no innovation here. There's no logic here. I mean, one have to think about certain things to say, is it really necessary for me to state this because of, I already have a diploma. If I already have a diploma from University of Technology, it means I have
a grade 12. Yes, I have maths and science or whatever. Yes.
So that those were some of the things that you need to eliminate. Like, for example, if you go to your computer skills, if you have a BSc honors, you must not write Word very good. You're already good in Word. Because of all your assignments, you're doing it in Word.
You used Word.
Yes, but maybe for somebody who it's only has got grade 12 and is looking for a certain job, he can mention computer skills and say Word, PowerPoint because of his or her level of education. Right? So those are some of the things. If maybe I'm an industrial engineer, when it comes to computer skills, I will highlight my MS projects, so visual, things like that. Not the standard computer skills that any undergrad has, because here you're only trying to sell yourself. And I always say, your CV needs to be more than just a dry list of responsibilities or capabilities.
Okay.
It must paint a picture of who you are and what you're capable of doing. And it must also give your potential employer a push to be looking forward to really sit down with you based on how you presented yourself from your CV. So if they doesn't get that, and before they can get that, look at it and say, if it was me deciding to see these candidates, would I choose myself now? Because most of the time we tend to do things and just rush and finish and say, they will see it there. But we don't really do quality checks of our own CVs and work and critique it before we send it to somebody else. Mm. Somebody else picks a whole lot of errors and mistakes before we ourselves could pick it up.
Okay, you are now on the academic part. What about the personal part? Do we still include the picture, the ID, or what is it that needs to go into the personal space, the personal details before we get to the academics?
The personal details, what needs to get there, it's your name, your full name from the ID, and the sign name, and your cell number. And your email address, and your address of where you're staying. Those are some standard things that you need to put in your personal details.
You don't need to put your ID number because in the past you would put 7, you put 90, 11, 23, and then...
You don't have to put it. Remember, when they call you for an interview, there's a certified copy of your ID. So it's already there. your year, they know it. So you put your name, your contact details, in terms of cell number and email address and your address. Then you're done about your personal details.
What about your drivers?
No.
You don't need to put your drivers in there. So what is it, what if it's somebody who's looking for a job in the driving sector?
Then you can force for you to add that.
Okay.
Because remember, most of the jobs, they are different. Because if you're applying to be a driver, definitely you need to flex your driving skills.
Tell us that you have a code B, code 8 or whatever.
This is the qualification that they're looking for. So you can't omit that one.
Okay.
But I'm talking in case
general.
Of a continuous improvement manager. They're not even talking about you should be able, in the job advertisement, they're not even talking that you should be able to drive.
Yeah.
And then you flex your code 10. It's not really relevant to that. So it's very easy. It's good also, even if you have already done CV, if you're submitting your CV to a certain position, go back to the advert.
Mm-hmm.
Read the advert, what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to your already done CV and see if they interlink.
Mm.
If there are some things that it's omitted there, then try and edit in your CV so that it says everything that they are.
So you should have, let me ask a question. So you should have a CV for whatever job that you are going for, whatever job that you desire to pursue.
There's you should have a standard CV. A standard CV, it's
you can take it anywhere.
Yes, you can take it anywhere.
Mm.
But then there's different job prospects, right?
Mm.
I'll give you a practical example myself. I mean, industrially, by profession.
Mm.
Professionally, in a private company, I apply as an industrial engineer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in a non-profit, they need experience in terms of the non-profit work that I've done. So I need to put more much info in terms of the non-profit work that I've done. So I will take in my standard CV and then re-customize it on the non-profit work, right? To be able to go with the non-profit work that I'm intending to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. All righty then. Let's go with it so that we can wrap it up. Are we done?
Yes. Oh. No. And also one of the issues I was bringing that I need the listeners to also look at it's when you're doing your CV, I've already mentioned it, that is the only profile or link that you have.
There's this family member who was asking about the photo, because there are templates. So Swangile and Hlaisaka, there are templates that show that you need to put a photo of you in your CV. Should we be doing this?
Personally, I'm really discouraging that.
Right.
Personally, but not to say it's wrong, because as people, although there are certain people that have got this Ausbongile, that they look at you from the first.
They conclude. Just like when you're going for an interview, they even look at your walk.
Yes.
Your walk says a lot, and they're like, "That's the person that we've been looking for." Okay.
Yes. So the danger with putting a picture, you might find that you are a yellow bone. I don't really like light skinned people, right?
Yeah.
And then I see from your CV that this lady is a light skinned lady. Then automatically I get turned off by that and not even shortlist you. So there's a good and bad in everything. But some people will say, maybe your picture was your graduation picture, you were wearing a formal as a man, and then that shows that this one is a responsible man who's having a family, and then they invite you because of your picture.
Okay.
So there's always,
but personally,
nice people not to.
Yeah.
so that at least you give them a chance to actually meet you in person.
Right.
Not to turn you off before they can meet you in person.
All right. Okay. Their family member, okay.
So, as I was saying before answering that question, I was saying individuals need to spend time on their preparing their CVs and also aligning it to the job prospects that they're looking for. I see a lot of CVs now. Most of the CVs that I get, you find that it's CVs that it's not even related to what you're looking for. It's CV that was done maybe 3 years back, and then because now they know that you're looking for somebody, somebody says
they just took and coin it.
Yeah, and you find that there's a whole lot of errors. Even the cell numbers that were there in the CVs are no longer working. The email addresses are no longer working. I told some people close to me that you can't bring in a CV that you've scratched with a pen and say that this is no longer working. Yes, people are very, very, what can I say? Maybe let me just say they're careless or they don't.
But that says a lot about you sending such a CV. Already you have painted a picture of who you are. They might say this person is careless. Who would scratch an important document like this?
Yes. One of the things that we see, our Spongil, is people, they don't take themselves serious, but they're asking for us as employers
to take them serious.
I've told them that if you can't take yourself serious, then you can't be expecting us to take you seriously. And your CV, it's a reflection of who you are.
Who you are.
You can't do better than your CV. At least your CV can do better than you. Do you know that? I was wondering.
Yeah.
Your CV can do better than you, but you can't do better than your CV.
Sure.
So if your CV is lower in that way, that you can scratch some things and give it to your potential employer, and some email.
You will scratch our documents.
You will scratch our documents, and then I won't trust you because of you can't even be trusted with your own personal information.
Yeah.
And this is the only document that is supposed to sell yourself.
Yeah.
And paint a good picture about you. And this document that is supposed to do that, it's already in another form. So it's just the sense of professionalism between our graduates and anybody out there who's looking for work. They don't have that. It's scary. I'm telling you, it's scary when you look at the CVs that they're submitting.
Sure, yeah. All right. Wow. So, would you say that after one has written a CV, they can find somebody to proofread it and help them correct before they can send it out?
Definitely. Before you can send your work to your potential employees to ensure or to make sure that to prove that you take yourself seriously, you must give it to a person that you trust. Before you can even give it to a person that you trust, proofread everything yourself.
Okay.
Do quality checks yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then give it to the second person, the next person that you also trust, and then he does the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he brings it back to you, go again to the third opinion, and then your potential employees will be the fourth people to receive it. Obviously, in that time, there won't be any spelling errors that should have already
been avoided by now, corrected as well.
Yes, because I'm telling you, if you were to give a CV to one or two people, they've already noted it to you to say this is not right. Please take it back and retype it and do proper work. But to show that you did it in a hurry, you don't really take yourself seriously and you don't really care about your work, you just submitted it like that. Just like that.
It also, doesn't it also show disrespect to the one who's receiving it?
It shows a huge, huge, huge disrespect that you don't take us seriously, you don't think highly of us, and you don't really respect us. And with our work, you're not going to respect it.
So we can't trust you with our work. you cannot be hired.
You cannot be trusted. Yes. You can't trust a person like that. That's all that, those are the issues that we face.
All righty then. To sum it up for today, I know tomorrow we are talking about the interview, now going for an interview. What do we say to the family members as we close it for today?
To the family members and everybody out there who is listening, I would love to say, let us start carrying ourselves seriously and thinking highly of ourselves and respecting our careers and those potential employees that we want to be employed by them, by firstly starting to go back to our CVs and read them properly and get assistance from anybody else that we know amongst us is really doing well with drafting such information, so that whenever that information is needed, we present good quality work to the potential employers. That will help us a lot, and that will earn us more interviews so that we can get hired in the future.
Butlaisega, let me ask, the CV that you spoke about, is it for sharing with the family members, or
yes, I can. I will share it with Ausbongile. And
I was thinking if, because I'm just wondering if I'll be able to retrieve it and share it on our page. But if it's on your, I'm thinking about your, or if you can get into our Facebook of Radio Pulpit and share it there, I think that would be awesome, because we are streaming live right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would share it to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
For Radio Pulpit.
All right. Thank you so much. For family members seeking to talk to you directly, getting advice, help, and all that, how do we get hold of you?
For those that want to get hold of me, they can get hold of me from 064-002-0504. It's for both calls and WhatsApp. For the landline, the office is 013-170-5926. For emails, they can call me from h@arbusinessconsulting.co.za. For the personal email, they can also get me from hngomane12@gmail.com. We also have the website for AR Business Consulting. You can get us from our website, and also Facebook page for AR Business Consulting and Training Institute.
Thank you so much for taking a moment and helping us in this regard. I hope that we have been taking notes. We might call you again for this. I think it's very important.
I'll also share the CV and also that the covering letter in terms of how to write that.
All right.
So that our listeners and family can...
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We are streaming live, so we will be waiting for that. And family, you can go to our stream and you will get all the examples right there. Thank you, Tlaisega. A blessed one until tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And yes, family, do remember that you can get hold of him on his WhatsApp number, 064-002-0504. It's 064-002-0504. Say it slowly. Sibongile, 064-002-0504. That's the WhatsApp, the office number, 013-170-5926. It's 013-170-5926. You can go to their site on Facebook as well, AR Business Consulting and Training Institute, and you will find them there. Their email address, h@arbusinessconsulting.co.za. And the number again for family members, 064-002-0504 and 1013 0800-170-5926. Belega Zitamani says, it is important, Sisbo. It is important. May our CVs excel. May we match our CVs. Even our Facebook, Twitter, all social media platforms also, need to be exactly who we are, present who we are, and, you know, collaborate with our CV and collaborate with us. So yeah, let's take it serious. Let's take everything serious. Ha! Just imagine a scratch on the CV.
Yo!